Thank you again for having me back. I really appreciate it. I love to come here, see all your happy faces. I wonder how we learned not to trust ourselves, or how we learned not to trust life. What happens to some of us in our childhoods or in our cultures that makes us second-guess our decisions, or worse, be so paralyzed by indecision that we just can't move forward? I think this goes beyond simple insecurity or fear of failure. I think this is a deeper misapprehension about life, a misapprehension or a unrealistic expectation about life. Somewhere along the line, many of us have forgotten that sometimes, in many occasions, many instances, time just has to pass. Sometimes we just have to wait and see what happens. I work as a psychic medium, so you can imagine that many of my clients come to me with questions like, when will I get that? Will I get a new job? Or is she the one? Or is he the one? And if I marry this person, what if I miss my soulmate down the line? Or if I go back to school, if I postpone going back to school, will that mean I've made a mistake? And what all of these clients are really asking from me when they ask me to look into their future or check in with their spirit people, they're all sort of asking for the same thing. They want reassurance that the decision they're about to make or a choice that they're faced with is the correct one, that the outcome is going to be what they expect and what they desire. I have a service in my business where people can email me two questions and pay $25 through PayPal. For people who don't need a whole half hour or a full hour, they just have a couple questions they want answered. And I have a client who emails me before every first date with a new guy. And she wants to know, is he the one? Is it going to last forever? Same two questions, two, three, four times a year. She just can't let a date unfold. She just can't wait. She is unwilling to invest even 1 minute in a relationship that may not turn out to be her soulmate or end in marriage, remarriage. This will be her fourth one. She's a lovely person, and I don't know what went wrong with her previous three marriages or where things fell apart. And I'm going out on a limb here, but it's probably her. It's probably her expectation or her misapprehension that there is the one, and she just hasn't found him yet. I have another client who called me fairly late in the evening on a Saturday. It was about 9:30. And I let it go to voicemail because I don't take business calls at 9:30 on a Saturday night. But she left me two and then three, so I thought, ooh, I better listen to this. So I listened to her voicemails, and they were increasingly urgent. She was in a breathless panic. I had to call her back. She, please, Priscilla, I know you're not working. This is like life or death. It's really important. I promise I'll pay you. Just please call me back. Alarmed, I called her back. You know what she wanted to know? What shoes she should wear to a party. Because a man she had met once before and had a premonition that they would be together forever was going to be at this party, and she wanted to know what shoes she should wear to attract him and to trigger some response that would let her know for certain he was the one. These are normal people. I mean, these are people that I talk to every day. They have jobs. They have a genuine desire to find answers. And I wonder where it became so important to know how absolutely everything is going to turn out before we even begin. What happened to our sense of adventure? You know, we haven't lost control of something simply because it's been set in motion. If I set myself on a course of action that becomes increasingly clear is not headed in the direction I want it to go in, I have control all throughout the course to reset that course, to take a new direction. I still have the power to change things once they've been set in motion. And making mistakes, if we're self-aware and we have a fairly healthy self-regard, can be the fastest and most efficient way to achievement or to learning. What feels better? Getting something right the first time? Yeah, that feels good. But what about those times when you flubbed and you reattacked something and you worked it out and you finally got it right? That is more satisfying. That is more, it's just more fulfilling, and it feels better because we learned something along the way, or we had to work at something. And yeah, getting something right the first time feels wonderful. Now, I have made some colossal mistakes. I got married, for one. Not that marriage is a mistake, but my marriage was a mistake, and I knew it before I got married. I knew it before, I knew it accepting the engagement ring, that I just didn't love the man. He was my best friend. He was a great guy. We're still good friends to this day, but I knew that it was a mistake on more than one level of my mind. And yet I went through with it. I don't remember why, but I did. And it went downhill the moment I changed my name. It just tanked. And it was a huge mistake. And it was a costly mistake. And it was emotionally exhausting. And it was traumatic for me and for my family. It was the first divorce in my family in recorded history. And I made some really stupid financial decisions that took me years to correct. And these mistakes haven't made me bitter or cynical. Quite the opposite. These mistakes, or rather the process of correcting them, were extremely empowering. I know more about managing money now than I ever thought I would. Once I got myself out of debt, I swore I would never buy anything on credit again, and I never have. And I own my home. And I have no credit card debt, and I don't have a car loan, and I need a new roof. And I knew last year I needed a new roof, so I started saving for it. And I just got some estimates this week. I didn't know how much to save, so I just saved a little bit every week, every month. I have $2,000 more than I need to put a new roof on my house, and that feels like I'm getting paid $2,000 to get a new roof. It is so satisfying for me to live debt-free. And I know more about emotional integrity in relationships than I ever would have had the courage to experience if I hadn't gotten divorced. I know now I won't make a commitment again if I'm not prepared to follow it through. My divorce taught me the power of saying no. And that's a wonderful thing to know how to do, not just in relationships, but I was one who always overcommitted. I always did. I was a people pleaser. Now I know how to say no, and I'm healthier because of it. Another thing my clients always want to know is when. When is it going to happen? They want to know when all the problems are going to be solved or when the results are going to come in. They want to know when the next love is or when the job is going to come in. And I understand this, especially if you're in a transition between things. I had a client a few years ago, and she came for a reading in the winter, I believe, and I remember predicting for her that in 6 months she would have a job. She was looking for a job. So that would have been June. She called me June 30th to tell me I was wrong. She didn't have a job. And something in me made me ask, and I don't do this. I don't. This isn't something I would normally do. But something made me ask me, well, "Did you look for one?" And she said, "No. You told me I would get one. You told me to be patient. I would get a job." And you know, it was one of these moments where you slap yourself in the face with your hand. Patience and waiting doesn't mean inaction. And she had just totally surrendered her ability to change the course her life was on. When? And the answer to when is always when the time is right. So I challenge you guys to set something in motion. Just go ahead and make a decision you've been putting off and see what happens. I mean, what's the worst possible outcome? You lose some money, so you earn it back. You end a friendship, so what? If it didn't work out, you crawl back on your knees and you beg forgiveness. That'll teach you more about yourself and your character than pussyfooting your way through something you're not sure about. There's nothing wrong with not knowing how something is going to turn out for the rest of your life. Things we might consider devastating now, in the fullness of time, may turn out to be the best thing that could have happened. My divorce, though the anticipation of it for me was tragic and shameful and a badge of failure for me, sent me off on all the dreams I never thought I'd be able to pursue. I traveled the world. I climbed famous mountains. I got my pilot's license. I bought a home. I started a business. I never would have done those things if I hadn't had the gift of a mistake, which was getting married. There are both ancient and New Age texts, documents, that counsel patience, or which define time as a learning device. According to A Course in Miracles, true patience means waiting without any anxiety whatsoever. It doesn't mean waiting without action, or helplessness, or an absence of complaint or anger. Because God guarantees us that joy will be the final outcome for everything, even if the outcome we're expecting is different than the one that we get. Buddhism teaches us that the way to real peace and serenity is by non-attachment to an outcome. I think Buddhism teaches really more non-desire, which leads to the beginnings of non-attachment to outcome. Can you imagine going on a first date without any attachment to the outcome? Knowing that in time, God is going to deliver you joy and your soulmate anyway. Wouldn't you have a great time? You wouldn't be self-conscious. You wouldn't be judging the other person. You'd be able to pay attention and get to know that person without thinking about, does he have the right genes? Could we make pretty babies together? Does he have a good job? You wouldn't be interviewing, grilling. You would be right there in the present. And you'd be relaxed. Or imagine you've done all the analysis possible for a decision like going back to school. You've figured out how much money it's going to cost and how you're going to pay for it, and you know that your social life will be curtailed for a little while and that you'll be really, really busy. But you don't know if it's going to end up getting you that job. Wouldn't you learn something from that anyway? Wouldn't it be a satisfying experience anyway to learn something new or to expand your education? In the Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, you all know this one, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. It's a lot to ask, I know. So try it with small choices for the practice and work your way up to major decisions. And let your gut instinct guide you. The Spirit people have said over and over again that the things that we anguish about, make little difference to our spirit. And they frequently use the story of Saint Christopher. Now, I was raised a Catholic, so the spirit people often stir up parables or stories or something that I know from my Catholic history in order to convey one of their messages. That this doesn't mean in any way that heaven is Catholic or you have to believe in saints to be comfortable in the afterlife, but they frequently present the parable, the story of Saint Christopher to me in order to get a message to their loved ones who are still here. And for those of you who don't know, Christopher was walking through the Judean wilderness and he came across a fast-moving broad river, which he needed to cross. And as he began to cross the river, he noticed a small child on the bank by him. And the child asked to be carried across the river. So he said, okay. And he put the child on his shoulder, and he began to ford this river. And as he was crossing the river, the child got heavier and heavier and heavier, until by the time he reached the opposite bank, Christopher was staggering under the weight of this toddler. And when he set him down finally on the opposite bank, he said to him, what was that all about? And the child reveals himself to be the Christ child, and he says to Christopher, you have been carrying not only me, but all the sins of the world. And the message there is, and you don't even have to be a Christian or a Catholic to appreciate this message, because the spirit people reassert it. You don't have to carry this stuff. You don't have to carry guilt, shame, sin, fear, anger, worry, anxiety. You don't have to. Because when you get to the other side, you're going to realize somebody already carried it for you, if you're a Catholic or a Christian, or it didn't matter anyway. You don't take it with you. It's important to remember that everything is going to be all right. And I know that sounds trite, but God promises that to us. And the spirit people reassure us that it's true. So we can relax a little bit. We don't have to take ourselves so seriously. There's nothing we can't change along the way. There's no issue we can't look at differently or choose to perceive in a more positive light. That's our free will. That is the only thing we truly have under our control, and the only outcome we truly can define. The power of freedom and joy is in your hands right now. God gave you this power. And those who have lived already and passed into the spirit world reassert that it's true. God just didn't give it to psychics or analysts, anybody else who can arrange data to figure out how things are going to turn out. He gave it to all of us. So don't rob yourself of the joy that God promises you. Just let a little time pass.